This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton and adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
All right. Welcome to another episode of The Close Up, a part of the Orlando Magic HQ Network. I'm your host, Stephen Cameron. And today we got a really fun guest. If you've been listening to me before the HQ, we got my good friend Malik Grady, who has done many a podcast with me, was once a co-host of my old show. Malik Grady, what's going on, man? Welcome to the show. How you doing?
Not too much, man. Very excited to be here, part of the Orlando Magic HQ show that you're doing. Really excited for the things that you've been doing out here in the streets, so to speak. People you're bringing in. It's been really nice to see, but glad to see you as always, my man.
Man, yeah, this is going to be a fun show. It's going to feel a little bit like old times, I think. And yeah, appreciate the vibes on what we're doing here at the HQ. Listeners, we have a really fun show lined up for you all today. We are going to deep dive into some numbers. So get your calculators ready, get your pocket protectors ready, because we're going to get a little nerdy on this one. All right. We're going to look up some, we have some fun information like on some potential playoff matchups, on how the Magic will match up and things to worry about with specific opponents coming up that we could see us matching up with in the playoffs. We're going to take a look at the schedule ahead. Josh Cohen, Orlando Magic writer, wrote a really unique article on Orlando Magic three-point shooting and why it's doing so good right now. So we're going to talk about that. And obviously, we're going to talk a little bit about the current winning streak. But before we get into all that, we got to pump the brakes, because I got to remind you all just about a few little things. First and foremost, Orlando Magic HQ Instagram subscription program, $5 a month, gets you into our group chat, gets you 20% off home games, gets you just specific content just for you guys. We do monthly roundtables. We do, you know, just a bunch of stuff, exclusive posts and stories and things like that. So it's a good time over there. Consider joining it. Go to our Instagram page and you can see all the benefits pinned to the very first post. Or you can just hit subscribe for $5 and let us keep making this fun happen for you. The next thing that we have is this show is presented by Bet Online. Bet Online continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up to the minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile device. You can head over to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Now, I want to pause there for a moment, because I was on a work trip last week and I was in Portland, Oregon, and I got to go to a Trailblazers game. And in the middle of that game, I downloaded the DraftKings app and was making some like in-game bets. I was there for like 5 days. I turned $5 into over $20. Really fun. Just having a lot of fun doing like little stupid $1 parlays. Back in California, where I can't use DraftKings, it is illegal to use that in my state. So you know what I'm about to go do this week? About to use betonline.ag. I think it's .ag. And it's going to be a great platform for me to do the same thing. I'm going to turn $5 into 20 again real fast. But you know what's great? Is also just betting with your friends. We've got a great new sponsor. I love betting with my friends. Malik and I like to bet on all sorts of things. You know, we bet on all sorts of things from sports games to little things like who's faster than the other. And that's what the app Cut allows me to do. It allows me to bet against just about anything. Malik, let me ask you a question real quick. The NFL Combine just happened. If you and I had to sprint the 40-yard dash, I would bet that you might beat me. Would you take that bet?
I would not. I would not. You're quite a bit younger than me. You're chasing after a younger child.
But dude, you got longer legs. You got them strides, bro. But if we wanted to do this bet, man, all we'd have to do is go to the app Cut and place that bet, and we can make our own wagering odds. It's pretty great. The Cut app is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's legal in 40-plus states. Cut has customizable odds, tracking capabilities, and an entry social network, an entire social network with group chats, user platforms, and rewards. All payments, no need for Venmo. It's super easy. Use our promo code BLEAVEMAGIC. That's BLEAV magic for 10% welcome deposit bonus. Don't forget to use that promo code Believe Magic. Cut. Put your money where your mouth is.
You know, it's all interesting. Right.
Thank you, sponsors. Quick,
I might try to get into that Cut at one point, but I actually already put a bet in under Bet Online AG before the season for the over under for the Magic. It was very low odds. Basically, like you spend $20 and you get $25 back, but still, I'm gonna win that easily, and I'm happy about it. So,
dude, that's $5 you didn't have when that pays out. You know, that's great.
Exactly,
that's great. I'm actually thinking about grabbing a bet online too, to start placing some fun bets. Cause like I really did. I was on this work trip. It was super fun, and you know, I did a bunch of parlays. I did one where it was like I turned $1 into $11 by like Jalen Suggs had to hit more than 2 threes a game for the game. Okay. The Magic had to win. I picked the under on the total points. It was versus the Jazz. And I think there was one more. It was a 4-leg parlay. And then Jalen to have like over like 10.5 points. And right. I hit. And so I turned $1 into $11. It was super fun. Now obviously like I'm going to be a reasonable gambler. If I decide to get back into it, you know, I'll deposit like $20 and see what happens and just go from there. But yeah, it was a good time. Good road trip. Nice, back, dude. Glad to be back home. You know, what's cool though. Like, so I recorded my last podcast on Monday, before I left on the 26th, I believe that was, and the Magic had a record. Well, there's been some games that have played since then. And you know, it's fun. And the reason why I said the Magic have had a record is because the Magic's current record is 35-26. They haven't lost a game since my last episode. The game they lost was right before that, and now they haven't lost a game since. It was the Atlanta game, and I recorded the very next day, and then they've won against the Brooklyn Nets, against the Utah Jazz, and against the Detroit Pistons, all pretty confidently. I mean, the Jazz game was a little close there for a little bit, but like, I still felt pretty confident in those last couple of minutes that the Magic were going to win, as they started just making some better clutch plays at the end. So I don't know about you, man, but I love little winning streaks. We've won 3 in a row. We're about to go on a 3-game road trip versus the Charlotte Hornets, Washington Wizards, and New York Knickerbockers. I can't speak tonight. How you feeling about all that, man? How you feeling about the little upcoming schedule?
Well, it sounds like, with your mojo, you have had the betting kind of foray up north, and now you have this winning streak they were on. I'm feeling really great about the match right now. After the trade deadline, it didn't go the way I wanted it to. The All-Star break, I was feeling a certain kind of way, but they've really kind of found the momentum. I like that they're trying some different lineups, and they're actually working, even though guys are in and out a little bit, trying some different things. J.I. goes out, you still win, because for a while there, the Magic were really struggling without J.I., so they actually were able to, you know, endure being without him, first with his hamstring and first coming back from sickness. So it's just the vibe is really good. I'm very excited for what's in store.
Yeah, I mean, it's been really good vibes. I think the only thing that's like still kind of up for debate, but honestly, if the knee keeps bothering him, is Markelle Fultz, right? You know, when he was healthy, he was our starter. They did do a ramp-up program with him when he came back from his initial knee injury, you know, in the second unit. And there's, what, 21 games left, I think, left to be played. My thought was, all right, if he can get his knee healthy in the next couple of games, that will give Coach like 15 games of him being in the starting lineup. But he's now questionable for the game versus Charlotte Hornets. They announced that earlier this afternoon, a few hours after the initial injury report went out. And which means, okay, even if he plays, he's probably going to come off the bench again. I just don't know if we're running out of time to see him get back in the starter as they get into rhythm. And I'm just wondering, maybe, I don't know, man. I just don't know. I'm just questioning like what's going to happen there. Like at this point I would say like, let's just keep rolling with him on the second unit, but I don't know. He's a good basketball player and he makes us better in certain ways. So what are your thoughts around the Markelle Fultz situation?
Well, it's interesting. I wouldn't say I'm glad that he's been, you know, slowed or trying to come back from his knee and maybe a shoulder, that kind of thing. But what I do like, I like getting more data with different lineups. I like seeing things that might work in the future. And specifically, Markelle Fultz guarding ones next to another two guard with Paolo and Franz as your main playmakers. I think that's something that can take us forward. If, for example, if we upgrade the shooting guard position in the offseason, if you get a Malik Monk, if you get even a Gary Trent Jr., Jalen Suggs be your tertiary playmaker behind Franz and Paolo, and you can still do things. I think we're starting to see a little bit of proof of concept of that with Markelle coming off the bench, sometimes not playing, whether it's Gary Harris, whether it's Caleb Houston, even if it's Anthony Black, which we saw earlier in the season. I feel like I've gotten quite a bit of data out of Markelle Fultz as a starter. Not saying I don't want him to start. It's just that in this time period when you have some lesser teams, some teams that are obviously will scare you like the Jazz, but this is not the meat and the teeth of our schedule. This is a time where if you experiment, hopefully it doesn't kick you in the teeth. I think that's what we're seeing. So there's a little bit of excitement and hope seeing this lineup, and also seeing Markelle Fultz come off the bench, play so well, give them a spark. This bench has been, you know, nails all year long. You're getting that mojo kind of connection, you know, with Moritz and Joe. You're getting Cole looking finally healthy, looking like the Cole that we saw at the beginning of the year when we were excited. So I don't have any problem right now with Markelle off the bench. I don't think he necessarily has to be the starter, because I think, to me, Jalen is the guy I want to see as maybe the eventual guy at the one anyway and go from there.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, you were bringing up some points about just having more ball handling in the second unit with Fultz there. And it's like we saw earlier in there, and I went on some rants about this on the podcast earlier in the year too, about like, you know, when Joe Ingles was down and it was just primarily Cole Anthony as the ball handler, you just have less people that are capable of making decisions with the ball in their hands as far as playmaking in that unit. There's more two-dimensional players instead of three-dimensionals, right? You know, you're either a catch-and-shoot player, you know, 3-and-D type stuff. It's just like a lot less people that can create off the dribble and make for others. And, right. You know, having that second person back there, or, you know, now third with Markelle Fultz, and then you can stagger him a bit with the starters. I think it really does open things up, allows Cole to play on and off ball, which is probably a reason why he's playing so well the last handful of games. It just, you know, I just think it's balancing out that unit, where the first unit has a lot of people that can make, you know, plays for others. You know, you have Suggs who can do it in a decent fashion. You have Paolo and Franz who are scaling and getting much better there. You know, Wendell to an extent. He doesn't get you so much in it, but, you know, he can run a little bit of pick and roll, a little DHOs off, you know, with other people. It's not terrible. So there's just, yeah, I'm liking it right now and I'm fine with it. I wouldn't be upset if he stayed there for the playoffs. you know, as coach continues to tinker. And you're right, we're absolutely getting information to use into the play, into the offseason on how we want to construct this roster for next year, right? Which is really cool.
Yeah. And into the playoffs, you know. We're seeing things that, because you can have to make adjustments. High level, even low level playoff basketball is all about adjustments. You get your head kicked in for a game or two and you're like, okay, what do we do? Do you insert a different starter? Do you have some different options? And because of injury and because of talent, the Magic have played some different lineups. The other thing I'm hoping to see, I want to find a way to creatively get Goga involved more, whether that means WCJ can maybe play at the four or what have you and stuff. But, you know, if it happens, it happens. But I think he's a talent that, man, can you come get in a room and figure a way to get this guy on the court somehow? If you don't, hey, that's fine. But you don't have that many things necessarily in the chest of guys that have been shown to help you. So if you can figure it out, it would be nice. If not, hey, you know, we'll be okay, I guess.
It's going to be interesting with Goga and just the guys that we want to be on the court, like Anthony Black too, but are not at the moment, because it's like, you know, I question, are we going to see a 9-man rotation at some point? Right. I don't think we will, but last year we did the final 10 games, 12 games when we were like actually trying to win and make a play and push, which I thought he should have done about 10 games earlier. He shrunk from a 10 to a 9-man rotation. And, you know, the team was healthy at that point in time too. And just good players were sitting. It wasn't a lack of availability at that point. The team was mostly healthy down the stretch. And so I don't expect it, but it is a possibility that we see that, because a lot of coaches start shrinking from 10 to 9 man around this time. So it'll be interesting to see if that happens. You brought up in game, like making adjustments between games in the playoffs and stuff like that. And it's in a group chat earlier while I was cooking dinner, and it was, we were talking about actually in the subscriber Instagram subscriber chat that you are a part of. Thank you for being a member of that. But I was talking with one of our subscribers about, you know, how we don't even really know too much about how Coach Mosley makes adjustments in between games on the same opponent.
Yeah,
Mosley and his staff. That when I say Mosley, it's going to the whole troop. But what's cool is March 15th and 17th, we play Toronto back-to-back. Just a little mini baseball series there, right? We've had a few of these throughout the season. It's been a long time since we've had one. So I feel like this, like, I don't know if we'll see too much. And then at the end, we also play the Bucks. Not back-to-back. There's the Philadelphia 76ers are in the middle there on April 10th. But then we end the season on the 14th versus the Bucks. Now, those last couple of games could be interesting if teams are already locked in their position. Like, the Bucks might be sitting a couple of their guys. We might be sitting one or two of our guys. Who knows on that last game on the 14th? We'll see. But another opportunity to see kind of how coach potentially could make adjustments in between games going into the playoffs. So I'm looking forward to it. This playoffs are going to be really interesting. Just kind of learning more about this team, how they're going to operate, how guys may or may not be exposed on certain elements, what lineups really do work in these situations. It's going to be really, really interesting. Are some guys just playoff or regular season players versus not? Like, I think Cole Anthony is a very big question right there. Like, that I have, at least, you know, can he be a playoff player? I have a feeling, you know, Paulo and Suggs and Franz definitely it can be, but I do wonder, is Cole a playoff player? Or is he just a guy that's going to be a liability when we get there? I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I hope he's not. I hope he's great, you know, but we'll see.
And also, there are a lot of these, some of these games, you hear from coaches, the lack of practice time and also just the nature of the regular season, there's some game planning, but it's not the same as it is in the playoffs. You're not targeting certain matchups. Now, so that's the good news, that maybe you have some meat on the bone to attack certain teams, attack certain, you know, other matchups. The downside of that is you absolutely will see teams attack the Magic for some of their weaknesses.
Totally.
So where there's kind of questionable shooting or questionable ball handling, teams would be like, oh, that guy? Yeah, we're not covering him. He's going to have to beat us. Oh, you think you can shoot? Yeah, you're going to prove it to us in these matchups and stuff. And you're going to find out where, you know, the rubber meets the road, that type of thing. We also have some teams down the stretch that are lesser teams, so to speak, but many of them have made changes recently where they want to get looks at certain guys. For example, Toronto has made the trade to get Scotty Barnes in the spotlight. Now, he broke his hand now, so he's going to be out for a little bit, that kind of thing. But they've been traded for Emmanuel Quickly, a guy they want to get minutes out of. They've got some other guys in there that they want to see what they can do. Charlotte, you know, a laughingstock for most of the season, still kind of a laughingstock, but they traded for some actual guys that can play or have played. Trey Mann, to a lesser extent, Grant Williams, been on a high-level team. Guy Misich, who's played overseas. So some guys that Steve Clifford, he's actually, you see him kind of putting his hands up in the prayer saying, like, these guys can play. Thank God these bums are out of. Literally, they cut some guys at the trade deadline, like, off the team. Like, you guys suck, but you were playing for us, that kind of stuff. Not saying they're world beaters, but suddenly, usually at the end of the year, you have teams that don't have anything to play for. These guys are playing for their NBA lives. So I'm not saying they're necessarily going to be world beaters, but it does give you a little more opportunity for strategy, opportunity for matchups, and teams that want to show you something instead of just playing out the string. And of course, the play-in tournament, of course, affects that as well. More teams are kind of in it or jockeying for position. So it's exciting for these last 20 some odd games in ways that it wouldn't have been in previous years, I think.
It is. I actually had a thought earlier today that, and I think I stole this from someone else too. I can't remember. So shout out to whoever said this first. I think it was actually on Alan Anthony's podcast that released recently. The Magic are 28th in remaining strength of schedule, in front of Miami and Boston, who are they have easier schedule at this point in time.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I actually kind of wish we were maybe a little bit closer to like 20th. And the reason I say that is, yes, obviously every win matters, but our schedule, we are going to play some freaking bums coming up. And I am sorry, no disrespect to to the Hornets or the Blazers or the Grizzlies or the Hornets again or the Raptors twice or the Nets, or, you know, just like, or the Wizards. I wish we just had a couple more, like, our schedule doesn't get super serious again until kind of like, you know, our last three games, Milwaukee, Philly, Milwaukee, you know, there's a Sacramento and Golden State and Clippers little run in there during our homestand. That'll be telling. I'm thankful for those. Wish there was maybe just one or two more games versus like top 10 team, where we could like really just kind of tune some things up before those last like five games, right? It'd be nice if there was like a top 10 team game in like the next 10 games. That's because we don't have that in the next 10 games. We have, I think.
Well, I'm a little counterpoint. You do have New Orleans, who at times has played as good as anybody in the league. They beat up on Indiana a week and a half ago. You have the Clippers. You know, these are some real teams. I do want to point out, I do the same thing. whenever any of us say, no disrespect, we usually mean all disrespect. It's like, hey, no disrespect to your wife.
But
hey, no disrespect to your baby. But then it's like, it's the freaking ugliest baby I've ever seen. No disrespect. Yeah. It's just, I love it. You didn't quite say that, but I just love the idea. Whenever somebody says no disrespect, the next words are going to be just so disrespectful. I love it.
I mean, they're playing for something different at this point, right? Yeah. You know, like, I went and watched the Blazers play the Heat when I was on my trip, and it was a wonderful experience. That arena was great. A lot of fun over there. But it's like, you know, it was a competitive first half. Second half, also Ayton, like, jacked up his hand at the end of the second quarter. But it was just like, you know, they're playing guys that are not going to be on an NBA roster next year, most likely. They're experimenting, learning. They were the Magic were 2 years ago. You know, we were not playing for shit 2 years ago.
Chauncey's a little questionable, too, as a coach, too. So there's a lot of
question marks on him. So it's interesting. Like, we're just in different wheelhouses, which is really nice, which is really, really nice. Before we get too far into playoff talk, and I know we kind of just got like deep into there for a moment and then kind of segued back into the regular season. Josh Cohen, Orlando Magic writer, wrote and released a really cool article yesterday, today. I read it this morning, this afternoon. It's been out for like a day. It's not too long. I recommend everyone going to his page and checking it out. But it's about the Magic's three-point quality. Since January 18th, the last 16 games, The Magic have the league's third best three-point percentage at 39.1%. Only the Celtics have a better three-point percentage during that stretch. Before January 28th, the Magic shot 29% from three on 79 attempts when the opponent was playing zone per second spectrum. Since then, the Magic have shot 37.3% on the league's most 59 attempts in those situations. You know, I just threw some numbers out there, and we'll get into it a little bit more. But long story less long is the Magic have been hot from shooting from three right now. The last like 16 to 20 games, they've been playing very well, hitting shots, making shots. Josh did a really nice job on talking about it, talking about the quality of shots, talking about just making them in general. And it was really good. You and Josh had some interesting conversation a little bit afterwards about the quality of shots and kind of what does that even mean? And then I have some thoughts like, are we getting better quality shots? Or are we just making the shots more? Right. And so there's some things up for debate, but just in general, how'd you feel about that article, Malik?
Yeah, it was interesting because a lot of people had kind of pointed out the 3-point shooting and how the Magic were shooting, like, wow, what does this mean? And all that kind of thing. Josh, in his own way, was able to expand on that, but also make it really concise. Like if you read this article, I mean, you'll see it in the show notes, that kind of thing. It's actually very short, but it's very efficient.
Take you 5 minutes to read.
Yeah. So he talked about kind of three things. It's basically two things that we already knew about was it was forcing opponents' turnovers and securing rebounds, which the Magic been doing all year. And that's how they've been really getting a lot of points. We also talked about patience on offense, and that was how they were getting their better shots, which to me sent up, I don't know if it was a red flag, but my antenna went up immediately because what has been ground into us in terms of listening to, you know, basketball analytic podcasting and Twitter, that kind of thing, is that shooting faster is more efficient rather than waiting later into the shot clock. That's the reason why the Phoenix with the 8 seconds or less were so efficient. They were shooting early in the shot clock because before the defense got set, they went to set points, they were fast breaking, they were getting threes, they were getting transition, that kind of stuff. So I was asking Josh, I was like, how do you reconcile the conventional basketball wisdom now, which says that shots later in the shot clock are the worst ones to get because it's 3, 2, 1, heave up at the backboard type thing. And he was saying that the Magic were wearing down their opponents with their size, drawing fouls, which is another thing the Magic do well, and not settling for shots early in their possession. And I was kind of tongue-in-cheek saying to him that, well, I guess the Magic are so bad offensively, does it not matter? They shoot early shots or late shots. They're still the same crappy shots. But he said that in the last 15 games, the Magic actually rank top 10 in field goal percentage on their shot attempts taken with less than 7 seconds on the shot clock, which was really eye-opening because 15 games, the Magic have been 11-4 in those games. Now, again, they're crap teams. Again, it's a small sample size. Again, we're caveat. However, hey, we're looking for crumbs, y'all. We're looking for pearls. We're looking for reasons for optimism.
Momentum. We're looking for momentum. Yes,
in this time period, you look at the last 2 weeks on Clean the Glass, the Magic might have something going. Again, it might all be ephemeral. It might be smoke. But Magic are not only just shooting better, they are getting some, like you said, more efficient. They're making more efficient type of shots. They're doing some different things out there. So it's just exciting to see, again, is it a mirage? But it is something neat. 15 games is not an insubstantial amount of the season. That's what, you know, a fifth, a sixth of the season. So it's just nice to see. And I appreciate Josh Cohen not only writing the article, but also engaging a little bit with us totally. Know, online back and forth. Because I was like, hey, late shots suck, right? And he's like, actually, for the Magic, they're doing this, that, and the other. Okay. And I was like, that's why you're the pro, bro.
So it was nice. It's funny because I look at that article and I read it. And, you know, I think it's great. You know, we have Jalen Suggs, who's been phenomenal. I think he's shooting like 38-39% this year from three on like 5 or 6 attempts per game now. Paulo started the season strong, went on a cold streak, been playing really good as far as shooting from three again. I think he's around 36-37% again. Franz, ever since the All-Star break, I think it's the All-Star break, or maybe it was coming back from injury, maybe you can look up this real quick while I'm talking. I think the last like 20 games for Franz, he's been shooting the ball really well from three as well. And the team is just like, you know, Wendell Carter Jr. is hitting him from three again. It's really nice just having guys hit shots. Cole Anthony's been playing a little bit better. And, you know, we all want the Magic's offense to be a better team. We do. But what I was actually surprised about is we've slowly creeping up. We're up to 22nd on this is per basketballreference.com. They're up to 22nd in offensive ranking, which is really cool. When like most of the season, we've been around like 25, 26, 24. We've been moved up a couple of spots, which I think is like really encouraging. Granted, it's way too low where we want it to be. Like next year, we better be around like 15, 16. Like let's just get to league average. That would be really nice. If not better, but to at least be almost to 20, I will take that. Can we finish at 21st? Beggars can't be choosers, but I would love a good old lucky 21 going into the playoffs. That'd be sweet. Were you able to pull up Franz's 3-point shooting?
Yeah, it's not as hopeful as we had hoped. I mean, in January, he had gotten up to 41.5% for the month of January.
Let's go January.
But then when he went to February, he went back down to 29%. March is only one game, so that's kind of immaterial. But it's been a little up and down, but it definitely feels like they're going to go in more. I don't know. He's still taking the confidence, which I appreciate. It's a dated point this year. It's been disappointing overall. There have been times when, you know, he's gotten it done. He's taking a different diet of three-pointers, I feel like. He's taking more off the bounce, more self-created, which I don't know if he can live off of, but it's nice to see him continue to take them, and they're, you can tell there's work being put in. You want some of them to be paying off in them going in the net, obviously, but the process seems sound, and obviously what happens in the playoffs is the biggest thing in the creation, that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's what I would say for that in terms of bringing up the actual brass tacks.
I was hoping his February was a little bit better than that. So he's probably closer to like averaging since returning from like, you know, from the new year. He's probably close to averaging like 35% or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, well, so just make him in the clutch time. That's all I really care about, Franz, all right? He's been incredible this season, to be fair. Outside of his three-point shooting, he's had a really good season. All right, so are we good to transition to playoffs? Or did you have anything you wanted to jump?
We're running out of a little bit of time on some of these things, so definitely we can move on. Go read Josh Cohen's article. It's definitely interesting because, again, it's not just the hot shooting. There's other things that he has going in there that maybe are more sustainable. The Magic are playing at a slower pace, for example. We've never had a high pace this year, but kind of going against the grain in terms of not only focusing on defense, but playing slower, but still getting turnovers and hopefully not turn the ball over as much, making teams kind of have to grind it out. Will that work in the playoffs? I don't know. It's working now. Let's see what happens. So,
yeah, I mean, I think it will work in the playoffs to an extent. The playoffs tend to be a little
they grind down
beat
anyway. You're
slower.
Right,
yeah, they're a little bit of a slower, type of play. It's not as fast paced on any of the aspects. You know, you're typically seeing teams protect the ball. You're typically seeing teams slow down and get set up into their offensive sets. Especially as they're making adjustments to the other team, they're reading and reacting to that. So,
real quick, Steve,
I think our slow play will transition nicely into it. Yeah, what's up?
Well, one thing I know that we weren't sure if we were going to find a way to smoothly put this in. I did notice that Josh wrote in here, he said opponents are averaging just 9.3 offensive rebounds against the Magic for the season, which is the second fewest, and just 8.2 these last 15 games, the second fewest in that time frame. So once again, Josh succinctly says something which we were like, I was worried. I was like, can we put this in a way that people can understand what the hell we're talking about? There it is right there. Opponents are averaging fewer offensive rebounds on the season and in the stretch. And once again, that's a good way to be hot and win games. So
we've already said so many random numbers that people are, if you're still listening, I appreciate you. Keep listening. We're going to get into some more fun numbers today. I promise you that. Josh is great. Honestly, that article is well written, so much more easier to digest than probably how Malik and I just explained it. But I thought it was really good. I don't read. I'll admit I do not read enough of the Magic writers' content. I should read it more, but I don't. Unfortunately,
plus they're really nice guys, which I appreciate. Like they like the few times any of us back with Close Up or back with HQ have interacted with them.
Oh,
I mean, just salt of the earth guys, just really sweet. I mean, obviously the Magic family is good, but those guys are good guys. So.
They're great. Absolutely. Cool. All right. Now let's get into some fun. We have digged up some things that we find interesting. Malik and I, he's one of the few guests that I can have like do homework to before coming on the show. Just mostly because we're friends and we nerd out about a lot of stuff together anyways. But we took who we think are our three most realistic playoff opponents. All right. The Cleveland Cavaliers, the New York Knickerbockers, and the Milwaukee Bucks. That's assuming we don't make the eighth spot and we stay out of eighth and don't get matched up with the Celtics. And also, we just ran out of time and bandwidth to put that scenario in place. But let's just hope the Magic are going to land between 7, 6, or 5. And also, if we get to the fourth spot, a lot of this information will correlate because that team that's probably in fourth will just flip down to 5, right? Something like that. So these are all very realistic situations, assuming the Magic don't lose in a couple of too many games and end up in the eighth spot. So I'm going to start off with the Cavs. Right now, the Cavs are third. The Magic are 6th, which would be the current playoff first round matchup. And there's just a few things that I found interesting. These are both slower pace of play teams. The Magic are 29th at pace of play at 97.4, and the Cavs play at a 98.3 pace of play. So very similar. And, you know, and pace means a couple different things, but it's often like the speed at which you get up and down the court, but also how fast you get into your sets. Do you get into your set quickly, like with right after passing half court, or do you slow it down a little bit and then get into the pace of your offense? And it's just interesting. I found that really unique that the Magic and the Cavs are so similar in that aspect. Another thing that I found are, this is not so great. The Cavs are, they're kind of right in the middle offensively. They are 115th in the offensive rating. And again, 115 points per game in offensive rating, which is 15th in the league. The Magic are scoring 113. Again, we've ticked that up a little bit. We're at 22nd in the league, which is nice in points per game. But this is, and the other thing that I found interesting is we're sort of similar there, but there's one more that's even more crazy is the defensive ratings. All right. Cavs are third in defensive rating at 110.6 points per game being allowed, where the Magic are 5th, just two spots different at 111.4 points per game. So if this matchup happens, obviously the Cavs have some offensive firepower with Garland and Donovan Mitchell that can do wonders, assuming they're both healthy. But man, I think this is going to be like a defensive grind. I think we're going to see a lot of like, you know, 225 point total, like combined scores. You know, probably let's bet a lot of the unders on the potential scoring options with just how this matchup is playing out. The other thing that is interesting is the Cavs are 6th in fast break points. They get about 15.4 points per game in the fast break, which is interesting. Malik, when you look at the Cavs and the Magic type of matchup, what are some things that you like that are just sticking out that you might find interesting?
Well, one thing that stands out to me, we were looking at this for another matchup we have coming up as well, but the Cavs actually defend their own, I guess you'd say, defensive boards or keep teams off the offensive boards quite well this year. Per Clean the Glass, they're in the 4th percentile for that. And if you remember last year, that was basically the main reason why they got out the playoffs early. The Knicks came in rebounded all over them. They were stunned and just really carved them up. I don't know if it's another year of maybe Jared Allen not being banged up like he was last year, bringing Max Strus, who's a little bit more of a type of player, whatever it is. Last year, on the year, they were 20th percentile in stopping teams moving on the offensive boards. This year, they're in the 4th percentile. And that's where the Magic get their points, is off the boards, getting fouls, and all that kind of thing. So I think they might be able to neutralize us in that in some ways and not be able to have the Magic be such an advantage. However, they do are about middle of the road in terms of free throw rate defensively. So if all the work Franz is putting in, we see him putting his hands up, trying to get fouls over and over. If that starts to pay off, if Paolo continues to work, hone his craft and draw fouls, maybe that's somewhere the Magic can kind of, you know, hone something and get a little bit of an advantage. Like, I think what you said about it being a defensive matchup is spot on. But again, free throw rate. Also, I think the Magic will shut off that water when it comes to fast break points because of the way that we've slowed things down. I don't think that's going to be such an advantage for them. And, you know, I always pray for less injuries. You saw Donovan Mitchell had to have a little procedure recently. I got an injection, I think it's his knee, to kind of get a little things going with that. So hopefully he's healthy and we still beat him. I don't want him to be hurt, and that's why we beat them and that kind of thing. But he, of course, is an incredible weapon in the playoffs and all. But it's an interesting matchup for those reasons, I think.
Yeah, it is a very interesting matchup for those reasons. And I think they just said that Donovan Mitchell is going to miss a couple more games today. I think that came out like two or three, which is a bummer.
Prayers up.
He's so fun to watch in the playoffs. He's a phenomenal basketball player. I really enjoy him as a player. I'll let you kick off this next pick. You can pick the Bucks or the Knicks, or the Knickerbockers, as I've liked to been calling them recently, to intro into this conversation.
Well, let's go back to the Knicks. We were a little struggling a little bit because they feel like they're in the middle of the road in a lot of ways. However, they are lethal because of Jalen Brunson. But a lot of their strengths are somewhat of the same ways. Like we said, they keep teams off the offensive glass. That's where the Magic get their points, that kind of thing. They don't necessarily turn teams over all that much. They're about middle of the road there. So hopefully that'll help the Magic. They're really good defensively at really not fouling. So not putting the Magic on the line. So that'd be something where I have an issue. 8th or so points of possession when it comes to offense. 12th or so points of possession when it comes to defense. Like I said, middle of the road. Their biggest thing right now is just injury. OG Anunoby, is he going to be healthy? How's that elbow going to be? Julius Randle, his shoulder may need surgery in the offseason. He's playing, trying to get back and play through it now. Hartenstein had to come back. Mitchell Robinson's kind of in. Jalen Brunson dodged disaster, banging knees or what have you. It's just a bone contusion rather than just catastrophe, which is what it seemed like the other night. So they're going to be a tough team for anybody. Tibbs is always tough-minded. And actually, again, they've been better offensively this year for a Tibbs team than recently. So, you know, they'll be strategic, but I think it's more of the same with Cleveland. Is Brunson healthy better than Mitchell healthy in the as far as what we need and as far as what we're going against? Who knows? Mitchell is a little more proven, but Brunson has just been giving it to everybody, you know, this year.
Dude, Brunson's been awesome.
I mean, he's just fun. Well, like, this guy looked like us. Like, he's not that much taller than we are. Like, he's, you know, I don't know. It's fun to watch guys that are similar to, because we joke about Steph Curry being like the everyday guy, but he's 6'3". Brunson's 6'1". You know what I'm saying? So fun team to watch. We love fighting against these Knicks fans. Hopefully, you know, don't have a lot of them in the building if we play them, that kind of thing. But another interesting matchup, maybe not as interesting as Cleveland in terms of star power and also with guys being injured, but another interesting one, but similar.
Well, you know, they were hard for me when you jumped on and we were doing some pre-production conversation with this show. I had hardly touched the Knicks Magic matchup, and I wanted to, but I was having a hard time finding stuff because, like, they're just so middle of the pack in a lot of stuff. Like, per NBA.com, free throw attempts, 14th, defensive rebound, 14th, assists. Where are they? They're one of the worst assist teams in the league at 29%, right? So that tells me they probably do a lot of ISO scoring, at least right now. It's just like, it's, you know, steals 21. They rank 21st in steals, blocks. It's just not a ton of, like, they're a horrible team at blocking. Granted, they've had some injuries to their team. So it's just like, it doesn't mean they're not a good team. It just means I was having a hard time pulling some interesting things that stood out, because they're just kind of like solid at everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not truly awful at a lot of stuff, a few things, but they've also been dealing with some injuries and stuff like that, but also not elite at anything other than maybe ISO scoring.
Then they made trades and then got hurt. So it's like, yeah, well, what does that mean? So
there's, but on a non like number analytical aspect to this team, if we get matched up with them, I need you Orlando Magic fans to show up to the Kia Center. My God, that is going to be, I don't know what's going to be a harder thing to battle for this Magic team, the New York Knicks fans in the Kia Center or the New York Knicks on the floor. Like, there's going to be a ton of New York Knicks fans in that Kia Center. And they just, I mean, the Magic are a transient city, and we, the Florida attracts every single New Yorker that doesn't want to live in New York anymore. They just go straight to Florida. So it's like, mm-hmm, their fans are kind of all over the place in Orlando. So Magic fans, show up, be loud. Yeah. And if you're a New Yorker fan, like, take off the jersey, be a Magic fan for once. All right. Like, let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, well, it was funny hearing the guys, I guess, last night or this morning, talk about that. Kia Center's been rocking, like filling up some stands, mm-hmm, and getting some real fire, even for crap teams. So I think people are hungry. So I think we might.
The third largest crowd in Kia Center, Amway Center history, was against the Pistons.
It's the Pistons, bro. I mean, like, you know, so it's exciting. Don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but it just feels like something like, when you might even say we've got a lot popping, as some people would say. So
we've got a lot popping. All right, the last team I want to point out some interesting things is the Magic versus the Bucks. This is a team that is interesting in many ways. They got a new coach midway through the season in Doc Rivers. Very experienced team with Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton. Damian Lillard has ended a lot of playoff series with game winners. It's insane. Everyone remembers the bye-bye to the Clippers a few years back, which was just an insane shot, and I'm looking forward to just seeing that team in the playoffs, hopefully not against the Magic, but at the same point, like, you know, the team is still, they've kind of flip-flopped. They're a better defending team, but now their offense is kind of all over the place, and Dame's kind of had a little bit of an up-and-down year. But at the same point, seven-game series, that's going to be a little scary. They're a big team. Brook Lopez is good, too. But at the same point, do they have their systems in place? I don't know. We'll find out, but I'm just not sure. A couple things that are interesting with the Milwaukee Bucks right now, all right, is they are 18th in turnovers, at 13.5 turnovers per game. Well, the Magic are fourth in steals per game, and we average about 8.2 steals per game. And the Magic are second in points off turnovers at 18.7 points per game. So that's an area of this matchup that I really want to, like, dominate with this team. I want to force a lot of turnovers on them because they give up a lot of turnovers. I want to make sure we're scoring and transition off those turnovers to continue to, you know, just take advantage of one of our strengths right now. That's a really big area that I think is just going to be really interesting with this ball club. Granted, maybe part of the turnovers are because the Milwaukee Bucks are still figuring things out under, you know, Doc Rivers' new systems that he's trying to implement. There's just a lot of newness there, and a lot of figuring out, like, a contender this high, this much pressure on them to win, getting a new coach midseason is just kind of wild. I'm not saying it shouldn't have happened. It probably should have happened, but it's not making their lives easier. The other thing that I think is interesting is the Bucks are the 21st team in personal fouls. They are fouling a lot right now at around 19.9 times per game. And the Orlando Magic are second in the league at getting to the free throw line at 25.4 free throw attempts per game, which, again, another area of opportunity. If they're going to foul us, let's take advantage of it and get to the line and knock down those shots. I'm not bringing up the Orlando Magic's free throw percentage make yet, because it's not good. But if we can get there, maybe we can eliminate some of that, you know. Make your free throws, players. Gosh darn it. Those are a couple things I found interesting about the Milwaukee Bucks matchup. Do you have anything you'd like to contribute to that aspect?
Well, first, I just want to express my condolences to Doc Rivers. The way he's talked, he said, you know, this isn't a job that he would wish on his worst enemy, to have to coach Dame Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo. I mean, it's just tough for him. So, I mean, every day it's just a slog. He has to be in the city that he went to college in. I know it's tough. So I just, moment of silence for him on that. But all jokes aside, you know, Doc's hilarious. It's like great. Really, this is the hardest. Come on, you asked me. You're getting paid millions. Shh, quiet. Anyway, one thing that I noticed when looking at the Bucks is that they are 30th in the league defensively in terms of forcing turnovers. Only 11.9% of opponents' possessions end in a turnover. For the Magic, for whom that's been one of their biggest problems offensively outside of shooting, is that sometimes they turn the ball over, sometimes there's live ball turnovers. They've cut down on them lately, but if they can get on a series where they're just not turning the ball over and not having to worry about that as much, they also, Milwaukee doesn't really crash the offensive boards that much. And if somehow that disparity or that thing with in terms of giving up fouls does continue, I have a feeling that it won't, because it's the Bucks and it's the Magic in the first playoff series, and all of a sudden these refs would be swallowing their whistles, be like, all right, prove it, Rooks. That's what I have a feeling will happen. But if it doesn't somehow, if the trends continue and the Magic are able to draw some fouls, Giannis in foul trouble, Malik Beasley, traditionally a poor free throw shooter in foul trouble, Damian Lillard, not a good free throw, not a good, you know, not a good defender, giving up fouls, you might have some openings. And you definitely have that feeling of underdog mentality.
A little bit, yep.
There's nothing to lose against the two-time MVP and Doc Rivers and Dame Lillard and that kind of thing. You let it all hang out. So it'll be an interesting matchup, just because name-wise, you're not necessarily going to be always relegated to NBA TV if you can win a game or if you can be competitive, because, you know, there's the big names on the other side of the placard and stuff. So it'd be exciting to be matched up with them, especially, again, they're not going to turn you over, hopefully. If you can get to the line and do some things, be interesting. I'm just not sure the Doc factor is just up in the air. We always joke. I mean, everyone jokes about him losing 3-1 leads or 3-2 leads, but the fact is he's gotten to a lot of 3-1 leads, a lot of 3-2 leads, and that shows something to be able to get there. And he's gotten there with teams that weren't necessarily always having the home court advantage. This time around, they will have home court advantage. The Magic will be the underdog. So it'll be a great opportunity. I love to play the Bucks. I love Giannis. I've talked about it many times. His biography with Miriam Fader was just unbelievable, just the insight that she got for him. So to be able to play one of these all-time greats, maybe check them out in person, that kind of thing would be cool. But, yeah, it's interesting to look at those matchups and that kind of thing, especially.
Now, we're going to wrap this podcast up here in a few minutes. We've been rolling for about 52 minutes now. But as we get close to wrapping it up, I'm going to end this with one last question to you, Malik. Where out of those three teams, and screw it, put the Celtics in there in case we fall to 8, but I don't think we are. Do you have a personal preference in who you think the Magic would match up the best to make it a competitive series all the way through and potentially get out of the first round? Granted, I'm going to put a caveat there. I don't expect the Magic to get out of the first round regardless. I'm just going to be really, really happy if it's competitive, because this Magic team is really young. The, you know, Mosley and his staff have never, well, Mosley, some of his staff, you know, it's his first time being a head coach in the playoffs, right? There might be some learning and adjusting that he's got to figure out. So it's just, I would love to get out of the second round. I'd love to get to the second round, but I just don't know if that's going to happen. I'm just going to be happy with competitive basketball, and hopefully we can get to, like, you know, 6-7 games. I'd love it. Do you have playoff expectations that you'd like to see, and also a preferred matchup?
Well, I'm a professional devil's advocate. I carry my own silver lining for clouds wherever I go. So I could make a case for any of these teams. The one I'm going to go with, I think, was going to be the Cavaliers, just because the young star power of Donovan Mitchell, but also just the interesting matchup of, you know, Evan Mobley versus Franz Wagner in terms of draft class and all that kind of thing.
Sure. A lot of fun storylines.
The Jarrett Allen factor, you know, Darius Garland, that kind of young guard, and see what Jalen Suggs. Jalen Suggs really has risen to the occasion playing against him. Some of his most incredible highlights of watching him push himself to exhaustion has been chasing Donovan Mitchell or trying to blanket Darius Garland. Max Strus, we already have a history with from Miami, just as a competitive young man, that kind of thing. So that's the matchup that I kind of point to. Oh, once again, their coach and Mosley, to me, there's some similarities in terms of just kind of young coaches, just, you know, having some pedigree, but also just, you know, not necessarily just the bigger names of the other series, that kind of thing. Because obviously Tibbs and Doc Rivers are big guys, but
sure.
So I think that's the one that I would be most interested in. Is that the one where we'd have the most advantage? I don't know. I think all these teams are going to be tough matchups if healthy. The Knicks, because they have the most health problems, would maybe be the most of a wild card. But I'm going to go with my gut, not talk about, oh man, this is the easiest team or whatever. I think the most interesting matchup would be the Cavaliers. And I'd like to see the chess match of our young players and their young players, because some exciting young cores, really. So,
no, man, that you brought up a lot of really good points. I like you, I would be fine with any of these matchups. I think there's a lot of, we've picked out a lot of interesting things on why any of them would be interesting to watch and enjoy. I have a love-hate relationship with this Knicks pick, and they might be my pick. One is I think
Bing Bong.
I think we can match up well for them. You know, assuming that everyone is healthy, you know, they scare me a bit with their size on the wings too, with OG and whatnot. But you know, I just think we would do well against them to an extent. But also, again, love-hate, right? I just told I want a lot of Magic fans in the arena, and I absolutely do. But this is also the team where we're going to get the most stars in the Kia Center. All right, you know how many?
And maybe you can send those fans home too. You know,
they're going to come down. We'll get some fun faces that will fly from New York to Orlando. It's an easy flight. I can go down to Orlando for a couple of days, get a nice round of golf in, and some beautiful
Spike
weather,
Lee maybe?
And
with
go
Cole?
And go watch a good game. Like, I bet we would see some fun faces there. So that could be cool. And then you take it back to the other side, us in New York. Cole Anthony's from New York. He likes to ball in New York, you know.
His mama.
I think those guys like to be in the spotlight there. Jalen Suggs had a couple of nice moments in New York. Paula's had some nice moments in New York. I think it would just be fun environment wise, you know, the largest market. It's, I mean, a huge television market too. Like, we're not playing against some small markets there. Like, rating wise, we will probably have the best ratings versus New York, not necessarily because of the Magic fans, unfortunately, but because of TV ratings, and New York Knicks fans are just effing everywhere. So, I kind of think that would be fun. We want some relevance. Go make some noise against New York. All right. Really do. Make some noise. That's how you're going to get some media relevance, because that's how you're going to get a lot of ratings that are positive for you. And that's how you're going to get some more national televised games next year, right? Not, oh, they played a cute series versus the Bucks. No, let's go play a good series versus the Knicks and get a lot of eyes on those television sets. So that's kind of my set, despite having to deal with a lot of New York Knicks fans in Kia Center. So, Malik, thank you so much for joining. This was a little bit of a last minute. Had to do some pivots, and you filled in the gaps beautifully like a professional would. I very much appreciate you. We haven't done this in a very long time. I miss it. Let's do it again soon. Magic fans, thank you so much for tuning in. Malik, why don't you tell everyone where they can find you online so they can talk with you if they're not already doing so.
Listen, y'all, I am on Twitter, Malik G. I love all
Malik G,
you know, conversation, discussion, debate. I'm polite. I'm arrogant. Just the way we all are. I welcome any conversation basketball wise Atlanta Magic, Gator basketball, any kind of basketball. I just love it. So I appreciate Steven for having me on. I love the HQ guys. Got to meet them in person a number of times. Just sweet men, great family men, that kind of stuff. So I love what you guys are doing. And, you know, let's go Magic.
Let's go Magic. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see y'all next week with another episode of The Close Up. Go Magic.